So many of the Buddhist images we see a Buddha or a Bodhisattva in this full lotus position, this Tekkakuza is the Japanese word. We see that position because it's traditionally considered to be the most stable posture for this practice. So we know we have this sort of three-pointed stability. We've got both knees down, we've got the backside on the cushion, there's no wobbling, there's no distraction, there's not so much strain. So it's considered to be the most stable posture. In fact, in Japan, if you read some of the really traditional literature, the teaching is that it is the only way to achieve awakening or enlightenment or whatever that is. Now, in modern America, we kind of do what our bodies can do, but there is some tradition around this that says this is the one, kind of the one true way. So this posture is very old. Of course, it comes from India. Certainly predates Soto Zen. Somehow we've adopted it. But this Padmasana, or this lotus position, which goes all the way back to the Sanskrit, goes all the way back to ancient India. And we can't lay exclusive claim to it, as we know. This is a common posture in not only Buddhism, but in Hindu yoga. The Jains used this posture, so it was quite common in early India. And when we look at the way this posture looks, it's said to resemble a lotus. It's called the lotus posture, or the lotus pose, because it's said to resemble this lotus. And we know that the lotus is a really important symbol in Buddhism and also in other kind of Indian traditions, because although the lotus is beautiful, it sits on top of the water. Where are its roots? You know, its roots are in the mud. So it's this metaphor, this symbol for even in our daily samsaric life, as we're moving through our kind of daily delusion, somehow this lotus is blooming and sits on top of the water. So in spite of what we may consider hindrances, somehow this Buddha nature is already there and already blooming. So there's this connection with this sort of lotus posture. So there are some, if you look back into the really early yoga texts or the really early Indian texts, there are said to be some other kind of physical benefits of this posture because of the way the body is kind of locked together. Supposedly the feet and various, the feet were hitting various kind of acupressure points. So there were all kinds of benefits supposedly for the organs, the internal organs, leading to some metabolic kind of changes, some changes in the way the brain was working, really creating balance in the whole body and in the whole system. So there are all kinds of layers of meaning in this posture. For us, I think we think mainly, well, it's a good stable posture. We're not distracted. The body's not causing some distraction and some mind waves while we're sitting because we're not worried about holding ourselves up, or you know, we don't kind of have one knee hanging up in the air. You know, put something under the knee so you have some balance. So somehow there's some balance that's created in this posture. So in our particular tradition, in our Japanese practice tradition, there are two kinds of lotus posture. And I guess intuitively we know this, but I didn't realize there were actually names for these two postures. So we have Kichijoza, which is the seat of good fortune. That means literally the seat of good fortune, which is where we have the right leg on top. And we have the Gomo.